If you look at the referral programs overall, it's all about harnessing those engaged users. So we thought, why don't we try that to just generate active users rather than it being focused on customers buying a product or buying a service from us? Let's use it to get them to promote it to their family and friends or whoever else, and obviously reward them for doing that.
Why do some companies succeed in driving growth while others fail? How do some individuals advance in their careers to lead teams that change industries? In the age of mobile, these are the stories of the companies shaping the way we interact with our world and the people who drive their growth. Hi everyone, Thomas Worden joins us today from Telstra, where he has spent the past 13 years in various roles responsible for driving growth, channel optimization, and improving the customer experience. Thomas is currently the principal of engagement and experience. So Thomas, so excited to have you on the show with us today. Welcome.
Thanks so much for having me.
So let's dive straight in. You spent the majority of your career working at Telstra. Can you tell us a bit about the company, your role, and maybe some of the exciting projects you're working on right now?
Yeah, for sure. So we're Australia's largest telco. So we provide mobile, fixed, internet, media, and security products. We also have like an enterprise division that provides a lot more advanced products and services as well. But I'm primarily in the kind of consumer facing part of Telstra. We're actually about to launch a brand new energy product. So entering a kind of a brand new product vertical, if you like, which is really exciting. And that'll be launched to parts of Australia. What's really exciting about that is that we're also launching that in my Telstra, our mobile app as well. So a kind of a new product that we'll be able to kind of build from scratch in a mobile app, making it, you know, not just kind of telco like it is today, but energy as well. My role itself is really about the medium to long-term strategy for our mobile app, our digital customer service channels, and also our overall digital growth kind of strategy and stitching together all of our end-to-end digital journeys.
And what are, you know, you talked a little bit about the app and being consumer focused. What is the role of the app for Telstra? And I'd love a little bit more detail on the energy product. Like, what will it allow a user to do? What can they do now? What will they be able to do once this is launched?
Yeah, for sure. So I suppose the app itself is My Telstra, and it started off as a self-service app. So really, you know, to manage all of your kind of core products that you have with Telstra. But what we've really been trying to do is drive that app and drive that strategy to be more than just a self-service app. We've got a loyalty program called Telstra Plus. So it's really the gateway to the Telstra Plus program and all of the rewards that you get there. As far as energy goes, really that product will be, you know, your customers will be able to buy their gas and electricity from Telstra. So not just their core telecommunications products, they'll also be able to get those other core kind of utility products from us as well. And then having that product integrated into our app means you'll be managing your mobile, your home phone, your gas and electricity consumption. One of the really amazing things about the product itself is that it'll be carbon neutral kind of by default. So we're not going to charge customers extra to get that benefit. And then part of our kind of, I suppose, overall mission there is to help customers change their energy consumption habits. So the app will play a big part in that as well.
Interesting. That's really cool. And how do you think about, you know, you have a lot of customers who are probably more traditional. How have you driven adoption for this app? And what do you think the benefits are? How do you guys measure the benefits for Telstra for the app? You guys are like in a very interesting space and we haven't talked to as many. We haven't had as many guests where the app has their role. So I'd love to hear both about the value and how you drive growth for it.
Typically, and a lot of telcos are like this, we looked at the My Telstra app as just an extension of our existing products. So we focused on it as kind of that customer service channel or as something you needed to have to manage your services. But over time, we've actually evolved to start looking at the app as an independent product and not just as that extension of those other products. So the way that we market the product, the way that we kind of drive our kind of growth strategies is actually about driving awareness of the app itself as the kind of core element and then extending that it becomes actually a way for us to grow kind of sales within the business. So it's not just this extension, it's actually a product in itself, as I said, to kind of drive engagement, to drive sales growth, to drive engagement in our loyalty program, Telstra Plus. And so as a part of that, it really changed the way that we looked at the metrics. So before we were just looking at things like active users and how many people were downloading the app, just, you know, typical things like that. But when we changed this strategy to look at it as a product, it really changed those metrics as well. So starting to look more at, you know, our retention rates, driving our more frequent engagement and things like that.
And what are the main ways you got, you know, users to actually use the app? You know, is it email or ad? Like what were your like main drivers?
For sure. So primarily our original strategy was all around our kind of in-house or our existing own channels. So really driving, you know, sending lots of emails, SMS. Also kind of original ways were things like using our contact center agents to promote the app on calls and things like that. And so that was more our traditional way of, which had lots of success. It drives it and definitely, you know, it got us to a point. But then I suppose the next kind of frontier, if you like, of and kind of coincided with how we changed the way we looked at the app and marketing it is we started, you know, doing a lot more Facebook advertising. We use kind of paid advertising across Google. We also started doing kind of marketing across TV, radio, press. So lots of different channels, essentially, yeah.
Cool. And I know you guys just launched with us with a referral program and a user-to-user. How do you think about, you know, the user-to-user driving growth? And could you talk a little bit more about that, the program, if you have the details?
Yeah. So the thing that I suppose started that idea is obviously referral has been around for a long time. But again, it's something that's been about, you know, driving revenue or driving a sale of a product. So I suppose we took the ideas from a program like that and looked at, we actually had this massive base of really engaged users, customers that were, you know, using our app every day, you know, sometimes 20 times per month coming back to our app. So they obviously loved it. And also our app has got great ratings in the app store and have been kind of growing. So it's a loved app. People really enjoy it. So we thought, if you look at the referral programs overall, it's all about harnessing those engaged users. So we thought, why don't we try that to just generate active users rather than it being focused on customers buying a product or buying a service from us? Let's use it to get them to promote it to their family and friends or whoever else and obviously reward them for doing that. So we're still in the early stages. We started off as a pilot because we weren't sure how successful it would be. And then obviously because we're rewarding customers, we didn't want to, you know, go crazy with how much we ended up, you know, driving. So it's still in kind of pilot beta phase. And as that kind of grows, we'll then expand that to kind of larger groups of cohorts of customers.
How is the reward?
So essentially when the user refers someone and they successfully download the app, each party involved gets access to a $10 gift card. So they get sent a redeem code to redeem a gift card from around 100 different providers in Australia where they can, you know, take that gift card and go and buy something. Early on, we did have the idea of looking at using our Telstra Plus program as the catalyst. So we have this, you know, reward program where customers can earn points. And we looked at using the bonus points as a way to kind of reward and incentivize customers rather than using something like a gift card or cash. But what we found is that the customers that didn't necessarily have our app weren't engaged yet in our Telstra Plus or loyalty program. So trying to bring them in with a reward for something that they didn't necessarily know about or value yet wasn't really going to cut it, which is why we landed on the gift card concept. But we'll continue to experiment in different types of rewards and we're even exploring looking at different value for different value types of customers. So yeah, lots more to do in that space. So it's been great.
And I love the two-sided referrals, because I think that, you know, I used to be obsessed with virality. I read all these books on virality and, you know, all the research says that two-sided are usually the best. And,
exactly. Yeah.
So that's
something in it for me, something in it for them.
Cool. Awesome. Well, I can't wait to hear how this goes and excited you are using Branch to track that. And if you see, it'd be really interesting to see if you keep changing those rewards as time passes, as you keep experimenting. You know, I think one thing that's really interesting is you just mentioned that the app is really liked and you have a lot of really good reviews and, you know, you were one of the people leading launching the app. Kind of what do you think, you know, I think it's very hard to make apps that people love today, especially for an app that started as a utility app and then expanded. How did you go about making sure that the app is good? Did you do user research? What was like your process and your team's process around this?
Yeah, so we actually launched My Telstra as a replacement for what we called the Telstra 24/7 app, and it had been around for, I want to say, nearly 10 years. It was one of the first kind of mobile apps in Australia for customers to kind of, you know, engage in a company of our size. So we had this legacy of this really, as you mentioned, kind of utility and customer focused or customer service focused app, which meant that customers were picking up our app when they had a problem or when they had an issue. And so when we were going into the research phase for launching My Telstra, it was really about A, replacing that self-service element and, you know, designing an app that was going to provide an amazing, you know, self-service utility experience, because that's what customers expect from our app. But we really wanted to understand what would be the other valuable elements that a customer would have beyond that utility. So how could we get them to use our app when they weren't just in the time of need, but when they were maybe just using their services and enjoying their services or enjoying the benefits that we kind of provide to them? And that's where the focus on some of the features we have in the app are really about, you know, managing your home broadband and monitoring who's on your Wi-Fi and things like that aren't necessarily a problem, but they're helping you to solve, you know, maybe problems in your household. So it's a different kind of emotional connection to the app. So really a lot of research into that went through. We did lots of rounds of user testing, but we actually also got the benefit of building this mobile app and then slowly transitioning our base from Telstra 24/7 app, which was that original product, into My Telstra. So we were really able to take our time, you know, moving customers across. We were able to make that process really seamless as well. So customers essentially woke up one morning and had My Telstra on their phones, not the Telstra 24/7 app. They were automatically signed in. So even that seamless journey of migrating across and then getting this surprise and delight of a new exciting experience. Obviously, we had lots of change management, lots of comms to our customers, you know, centered around that, but making that switch over seamless. And I think part of that benefit of moving from 24/7 is when it was just utility and customer service, it actually had quite a low customer rating. You know, we were lucky to get over, you know, 2.5 stars, I think was maybe the maximum we got to overall across both platforms. And now we're sitting at close to 4.1 on iOS and around 3.8, I think, on Android. So really climbing based on the fact that it's, as I said before, it's not just there in the time of need or time when you have a problem or problem to solve. So that customer perception has really changed around the app itself.
Very, very cool. Thanks for sharing. And as you think about, you know, the launching the app and the transformation and some of the projects that you've led, you know, I always ask this question, what's like maybe one feature or campaign that you launched that you think was very successful that others can learn from? There may be one that you thought was going to do well, but didn't. So maybe like a failure.
I might start with the failure because it's easier to think of that because I've got so many favorite features in the app. I am happy to say I'm fairly obsessed with our app. I really, really like it. So I'll think about that one. But as far as the, you know, the failure, and I wouldn't say it's a failure, but early on we started looking at how we'd use our more traditional marketing channels to market My Telstra. And so our marketing teams that we work with are normally, I suppose they're used to marketing a, you know, a mobile phone or a mobile phone plan or maybe our overall brand. They weren't used to marketing our mobile app as its independent, you know, its independent product. So when we first started doing TV ads, we forecasted this massive growth. We were expecting it to drive downloads straight away. We were, you know, ready to monitor, ready to see what was going to happen, all of our tracking all lined up. But what we quickly realized is that channel alone isn't going to drive our downloads and drive out. We really needed to kind of build that kind of full circle around our kind of spend on TV. And maybe TV necessarily isn't maybe the right channel to drive that immediate effect. But obviously what it has done is driven massive awareness of our mobile app over time, meaning that we're able to use our other channels like our paid marketing, our display marketing to get much better conversion rates. And that's what we've seen over time as we've done these large scale kind of more awareness campaigns. We've been able to kind of not necessarily reduce our spend, but increase our targeting and get better value on the other channels that we're using through that. So I think that was a bit of a learning, because we really actually fought for the budget and, you know, we really kind of put all our eggs in that basket, so to speak, but then, you know, learned that strategy wasn't really the right one that we needed to follow. So that was really a really interesting learning curve. And it's not to say that we've stopped doing TV ads. We actually just launched its own independent marketing program that just went out a couple of months ago now. But what we did differently is that it was a little bit of TV, a little bit of digital, a little bit of radio, press, a real kind of end-to-end marketing program to drive engagement and downloads at the right time.
That makes sense. And a very diversified strategy. I think that's mobile is complicated. And I think it's not like one, there is not one thing that works. People discover it in different ways. I think that's very interesting that you guys found the same thing.
Exactly. And I think our added complexity is that fact that we're not selling something right there in the moment. You know, it's easy to, not easy, but it's from what I've seen, it's, you know, easier to get someone to download an app if there's something for them right.
To buy something right away.
Right there and then, you know, they're going to download the app to watch this show or download the app to, you know, play this game. Whereas we've got this different, you know, we're almost sometimes getting them to download the app to solve a problem, which is a, you know, very, very different type of, you know, marketing.
I love it. And how about one of your favorite ones?
One of my favorite features, I think is, and I touched on it earlier, is this feature we call connected devices. And really what it gives you is visibility of all of the devices that you're connected, that are connected to your Wi-Fi network and also your fixed connection inside your house. What it also does is gives you a rating of all of those services on how, you know, how fast or how good the quality of their Wi-Fi is, and also gives you an overall score or rating for your Wi-Fi. And the reason why I like this feature is because I use it. I find it really helpful to go, well, is my internet running really slow? Well, it's because that, you know, that device is too far away from the modem or too far away from the booster or something like that. So I find it really valuable. But also that, you know, just that quality and that kind of, it almost becomes addictive, you know, looking at those, looking at who's on the Wi-Fi, looking at the quality, et cetera. And so I think that's a feature we really want to build out and drive, you know, further things like, you know, customers to be able to prioritize devices and, you know, remove devices. Again, lots of kind of research. And I think probably what also makes me like that feature is that it wasn't easy. It wasn't something that we just went, there was lots of kind of testing, lots of challenges in getting it live, lots of challenges having it reliable and making sure that it met customer expectations. So yeah, it's a good one.
That's a very good one. So, you know, let's pivot to some more personal questions. I think we've learned a lot about your work and it's really cool. But I think outside of work, you know, is there anything that you like, any projects or hobbies that you're pursuing outside of the 9-to-5? And, you know, tell us something about yourself we wouldn't find if we Googled you.
Yeah, I think as far as, you know, what I like and what my hobbies are, you know, technology and kind of marketing and, you know, overall kind of technology is a big passion and focus of mine. And I think sometimes it's hard to make sure that I'm not working, you know, that I'm actually just doing it for fun. And I'm lucky I've got quite a few friends that have small businesses. So I'm actually able to sometimes, you know, pivot my mind and think about it not as this big enterprise customer organization that Telstra is and kind of, you know, think of other ways to help my friends grow their businesses, which is really fun. And I think it also then, it actually ends up helping my day job anyway. So it's quite good to have that as a hobby, I think. So that's one of them. But the others, I would have to say during COVID, I definitely became, I wouldn't call myself a mixologist yet, but an amateur mixologist. I spent a lot of time perfecting different cocktails. So I definitely enjoy doing that. And closely tied into that is cooking. So I love having people over for dinner and cooking. So if I'm not, you know, sitting at my computer, you know, nerding out, looking at technology, I'd say I'm either cooking or making cocktails.
You make me want to come visit Australia just to try your cocktails. It sounds amazing. And how do you keep, you know, you talked a lot about your passion for marketing. How do you keep growing and learning?
People often ask me this question because I get asked how did I necessarily know that or how did I have any information on that topic? And I think it's just because I do have quite a passion for it, I just naturally search out that information. So instead of sitting there reading, I don't know, a book or something like that, you won't find me sitting on the lounge reading a novel. You'll find me sitting there reading a blog or, you know, reading a various news outlet and kind of following the latest trends. You know, obviously with COVID, I haven't been able to go to much in person, but, you know, quite a few years ago, I managed to go to South by Southwest and, you know, spend some time there and learn lots of technology. So I think that's something I definitely want to do more of, more than reading, but try and get out there and go to more, you know, tech conferences and learn more in person.
What do you think is an inflection point that led you to where you are now? You know, what was something that like kind of led you to the path in marketing and in Telstra and engagement and experience?
Yeah, I think, and you mentioned it, you know, I've been at Telstra for coming up to 14 years. So most of my career has been at Telstra. And in that first half of the career, I was actually in a completely different role. So kind of, I wouldn't say it was nothing like what I do now, but definitely very far away from it. It was very enterprise focused and very corporate. And so what I realized kind of about halfway through my career there is that what did I want to do? Did I want to keep doing this, you know, this customer service focused enterprise work, or was there something else that I was more passionate about? And at that time, I kind of started to really realize this kind of passion I had for digital and technology and trends overall in that space. And also there was a bit of a change happening in Australia around how much businesses were actually investing in, you know, in digital and in digital transformation. And so at that point, I was lucky enough to move into our digital business unit that was just being created at that time. And, you know, at that time, I was more focused on enterprise customers and how we'd provide digital service to them. And then really was able to transition into the role that I'm in, you know, that I'm in today. So I suppose for me, it was really, I had this moment where I kind of was stopping and thinking, hey, I've been at this organization for 5 or 6 years now. What am I going to do? Is this where I'm going to go? Or I'm going to try and, you know, follow something that's more of a passion for me. So mixing those kind of customer experience and technology passions together kind of led me to this digital, you know, this digital path that I've been on. And I'm, you know, super lucky that Telstra, being such a massive organization and having such a big digital transformation journey that it needed to go on, has given me all of these great opportunities to develop and kind of grow into where I am now. So, yeah.
That's really awesome. Any advice or guiding principles to share with others who are navigating, either entering or, you know, growing their careers in tech?
I'd say, you know, probably two things for me is I've found this, I suppose, this strategy of mine around reading and researching really helpful. So I think that kind of for me is what makes it work. The fact that I kind of have information about these strategies and these ideas, and sometimes they're crazy ideas, sometimes they're going to work, sometimes they're going to not. So you need to come into this industry with something like that. You need to have to a degree, a passion for this kind of, you know, this experience and for trying something new, and therefore, you know, researching what that is. You can't kind of just step into kind of something like this day one and start doing it. So that's probably my first thing. I think you need that kind of passion and want to learn more. I think the other thing for me is kind of personal research. And what I mean by that is when we were looking at the app and looking at kind of what we were going to do, I really looked to kind of financial services and fintechs in particular, because I felt that they were probably the closest vertical to us as a telco. And so I can't tell you how many bank accounts that I've opened with random, you know, there was a time when my partner would be asking me, you know, why is there another card being delivered to the address? And really, so what I mean by that is kind of researching your own product, right? Like going out there, checking out all of these, you know, these experiences and kind of learning about them to help you in your own role. That real experience is kind of what helps you to come up with ideas for your own organization.
I love that. I think that's such good advice. Well, I think a lot of good advice today. Usually I like to end with what I call a lightning round. So I hope you're ready to get the audience to get to know you a little bit better on a kind of a different level. So Thomas, if you had to delete all the apps and you could only keep one on your phone, what would you keep?
This is a difficult one because I don't want to have like a cliche app, but I think it would have to be Instagram because I just find it so entertaining and I do share a lot and I do spend a lot of time on there. It keeps me kind of, sane sometimes when I just need to go into a place that's, that doesn't require me to think and is going to keep me busy. So I think that's probably still my top go-to.
It's not cliche, by the way. I don't think we've ever had someone say Instagram. People usually say WhatsApp. WhatsApp is like or Spotify. Those are two very...
Yeah, Spotify I'd say is, very a close contender, but I'd say, Instagram.
Instagram, cool.
Yeah.
I love it. Maybe we have had one or two people who use it for inspiration. Maybe you're not actually quite... Now something just triggered in my head. I think we had at least one other person. And then if you had an app that allowed you to talk to an animal or a type of animal, what would you pick?
It would have to be a dog. I'd have to be able, if I had an app that I could chat to my dog. I've got a dog called Celine. She's a cavoodle. And I would love to know what's on her mind and what she's thinking. Sometimes the looks that she gives me, I want to know whether she's angry or whether she's upset or, what's going on. She looks like she's got a lot to say. So I think that would have to be it.
I love it. And then lastly, what's like one unlikely app on your phone that maybe your people close to you would be surprised?
I wouldn't say I'm overall, handy. So I'm not really, someone that will kind of fix things at home or maybe hang pictures. So one of the apps I have on my phone though is a level. So like a bubble level. So you can kind of put it on the wall.
Yeah.
And so people would find it random that I have that app on my phone because they wouldn't expect me to be hanging pictures. They would normally expect that I would ask them to do it or a friend to help me. So that's probably the most random one I've got on my phone.
Cool. Well, this was awesome. I feel like I learned a lot. You're making me excited to maybe come visit you and try your cocktails one day.
Yes, for sure.
And how can people find you? I guess on LinkedIn, or is there another place?
Yeah, LinkedIn is probably the best place to find me. Yeah. Thomas.
Cool. We'll have your name in the recording so people can connect you that way. And really appreciate your time today. This was awesome.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening. If you like the show, please leave a review wherever you listen to this and share with someone trying to grow their career. Until next time, keep growing.